It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Ross, or Ask Bob and Andy, is brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for the best barbecue around. If you've tried their barbecue sauces and rubs, you know what I'm talking about. Do you not, Andrew?
Don't forget their tailgate wine, but yeah. Happy birthday to me. You gave me some 409 sauce and some 409 rub. Thank you, sir.
Big rub guy, Jim. I don't know
I'm
if you're aware of
big
this.
Big rub barbecue guy. Rub. Barbecue rub. Barbecue rub guy.
We're on the radio, so I'm just letting that go, and we're moving on. It is time to ask Bob and ask Andy. You guys ready?
Yeah, which one of us? You pick the winner, Bob.
We'll see who'll pick the winner.
All right.
Yeah, that could be a
I would like effort. To think we'll be in agreement. All Let's right. just put it that way.
Here's number one. Mike from Dauphin, PA.
I know where that's a really small, by the way. Dauphin's very
yeah,
small.
Up near Pillow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm just saying.
It is.
It is. You go through Pillow to get to Dauphin.
It's correct. We're already off the rails.
Yes, right. We are. Let's move back. All right. Mike asks, why are we taking a 23rd ranked dual threat 3-star quarterback? It doesn't feel like we're closing the gap on the top teams. We hit on this a little bit.
Why
gentlemen,
in the
do you
world
care to
did
respond?
Penn State take a quarterback that was only viewed as a safety coming out of his Virginia school? Why? What's the big deal about Trace McSorley? I don't get it.
Mike. Talent recognition.
That is not the winning. That's not the winning.
Talent question. Development. Plug in place in a system, knowing exactly what they want in a quarterback.
I will say,
do not question these guys.
It's going to be a little bit of a culture change going from Las Vegas to State College. For this guy.
It is.
I'm just saying, it couldn't be any more of a 180.
But all right. I don't. Yeah, don't.
Mike, listen to Q1, our new segment where we talked about this. All right. Next up is Matt from State College. He wants to know, why is home field advantage so much bigger in college football and basketball than with the pros, NFL and NBA?
Well, let's see. I mean, first of all, when you have 110,000 people in a whiteout, you don't really – I don't see – the NFL crowds, it's – I don't think they're quite as much into the game at a lot of stadiums. Like, there are some NFL stadiums where, like, Arrowhead Stadium is a huge advantage. There are some where
– Heinz Field.
It's really tough. It's really tough to walk away. But I just think it's a different atmosphere, and I just think that – the NFL world's a little bit more corporate, and it's just kind of like they're going to kind of have a good time, whereas the fans really get into, I think, the experience. The crowd's a little bit younger sometimes. I just think that – I don't know, Ashay. I mean, well, rare when you see somebody come into, like, you know, Ohio State Stadium or Michigan Stadium or even Penn State Stadium and push them around.
Kind of – at times geography matters, but I think NFL fan bases travel more. In terms of, like, you know, for some of the, like, for 80% of the venues, the secondary ticket market.
Yeah, like, the Chargers home games are really a road game, right, because, like, the whole crowd is from the other team.
Like, I'm a Buccaneers fan, and I went to a Buccaneers game this year, and half the crowd, I went to the Saints game. Half the crowd was Saints. So, I mean, that's just, our team stunk, but that's just the way it is.
I think it's also as simple as, for the pros, it's a business trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you've got the college players, the college fans, if you've ever been to a whiteout game at Penn State, you know what that's like and what emotion could do for you. And if you watch the other night, Duke and North Carolina basketball, the Cameron Crazies, you're not going to see that in an NBA game in the middle of February.
Right.
I'm just going to tell you that. All right. Ready to move on?
Yes.
All right. Brad from Arlington wants to know, let's see, are you more concerned at the wide receiver position next year with Hamler, Dotson, Hippenhamer all being smaller guys and Shorter and George not really showing much in year one? Could the unit possibly be worse in 2019 after losing four guys that played a lot of football?
How could it possibly be worse?
Catch the ball.
I mean, I don't see any world in which it's worse. I don't. I mean, Trace was hurt. His completion percentage came down because of the drops. I think Juwan Johnson and DeAndre Tompkins had their worst years at Penn State. And yeah. I just think that these guys are more talented, and we haven't seen the best of a lot of these guys. I think they just scratched the surface. And I think that the presence of Pat Freiermuth will loosen things up as well on the flanks. So I think it's more about who the quarterback is and how he throws the ball than it is about the receivers.
Yeah, and I also think, don't forget the fact that, you know, the coach, the wide receiver coach and the coaching and the players playing the wide receiver position, it just didn't mesh. For James to fire somebody that quick, it just didn't work.
Yes.
And so that's a factor as well. But how can it be worse?
That was about as bad as I've seen it in a while. You have to go back to like before the O'Brien years to see that was how bad that was.
And I think he's very much downplaying the Shorter and George. You know, they just didn't get the opportunity, as we talked about. Shorter had the injury. So let's move on. As you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club, where great barbecue meets great wine. All right.
Nice.
Like that?
That's all right. A new one.
Steve from Arlington.
Another Virginia? We got back-to-back Arlingtons.
Yes. We're big in Arlington, by the way.
Arlington, Texas? Arlington, Virginia?
No, it is Virginia. Okay. All right. Assuming Tommy Stevens is the quarterback, Steve wants to know what areas of the offense will improve under him. Assuming stronger arm, he's more willing, more of a running threat, which could help the running backs. That's Steve's opinion. What is your opinion? How will they be improved in certain areas with Tommy?
I just think that question almost reads as a shot at Trace. And I just think we're talking about a guy that was 31-8. Played hurt all the second half of last year, owns just about every record, meaningful record at Penn State. He was pretty good in 2016 and pretty even better in 2017. I think it was him adjusting to the new offense, the receiver issues, him being hurt. I don't know that it will be better, and I don't know that I expect it to be better. Tommy's just a little bit bigger version of Trace. But he lacks the experience.
Be careful, Penn State fans. You should be very concerned about your quarterback position going into 2019. And it seems like they're not. They're like, oh, well, we got Tommy Stevens and Sean Clifford. Let me just tell you this. Almost every single X factor that you can think of as a football player playing the most visible position on the field, Trace had it, brought it, and showed it. Don't think that won't be missed despite any talent shortcomings that you think a new quarterback might overcome. Be worried. Don't be complacent and comfortable and confident. Don't think it's going to look like it did with that guy at quarterback. It just won't.
I'm the Penn State fan that you're talking to, Andy, but I will point out, and I am concerned, whenever you make a change, you've had a quarterback starting for 3 years, virtually miss no time, be the gamer and the winner that he is. But there were times, and partly because of injury, and sometimes there were accuracy issues with Trace. Yep. So let's
absolutely true.
Let's remember, that's all part of it.
I'm
too.
An X Factor guy.
All right, let's move on. We're going to stay in Virginia, just like
is it
Penn
Arlington
State.
Again?
No, it's in. Have you ever heard of Ballston?
No.
Ballston. We've got Morgan. He wants to know, if you had to rank PSU's coaching staff from most valuable to least valuable, what is your order?
Well, now, if you, let's cull it down a little bit.
You don't have to name them all. Morgan gives his top three, but I'm not going to share that with you. I'm going to let you make up your own mind. Who wants to go first? Why don't we do that?
The head coach in it?
No, don't count the head coach. Okay. This is the coaching staff.
I'm going to include recruiting in this as well.
I was thinking that.
I'm going to go Spencer 1.
That was my number 1.
I'm going to go Spencer 1. There's a bunch of them that are pretty even. Believe it or not, and I know that some people are going to be mad about this. I'm going to go Spencer 1, Pry 2, Limegrover 3, Ronnie 4. I don't even know if I can get to a fifth one. Terry Smith,
that was my three.
Terry Smith probably belongs somewhere in the top five, and I might have him a little bit low. Those are the five I think that are the most vital to Penn State and Franklin.
So mine were Sean Spencer, Ricky Ronnie, and then I was going to go third was Terry.
Yeah, I might have him low. I got on him late.
And I was going to go Brent. Pry was fourth.
I was going to ask. Nobody has Brent Pry on there?
I had him second.
He had him second. Okay. I have him fourth.
I just wasn't listening.
That's okay. I get that
about,
a lot. Yeah.
So, all right.
What was his order? Was his?
He had Brent Pry number one, Spencer number two, and Cider number three.
I just want to see a little bit more from him as far as development and stuff like that. He had Miles Sanders in year one. Congrats.
But going forward, he's going to have a lot to work with.
He's definitely killing it on the recruiting trail.
He's opening up Florida. Got to share that. All right. We're staying in the DMV area. Mark from Frederick, Maryland. Just like recruiting, we're big down there. Good day, gentlemen. I have a general game management question. Do you think teams are too quick to use timeouts when they're at risk of getting a delay of game penalty, especially in the third and fourth quarter? I feel like sometimes the timeout could be more valuable than the 5-yard penalty.
I think I would agree with that. I think it depends on where they are on the field. It depends on what the score is, whether they're ahead or whether they're behind. I think there's a lot of variables, but when you have to use a timeout and it doesn't really big picture help you, there's been some times where James took timeouts where he saved 5 yards, but it was like 3rd and 18 or 3rd and 11, and with 1 minute to go, I think against Michigan he did that. I don't think people spend enough time on game management in that area. I would agree with him.
Yeah, I would agree as well. I hate the timeout called when coaching staff doesn't have their you-know-what together. That one drives me nuts. And I'm a big fan of the timeout with the lesson learned on the field, where it's just like, all right, everything's in place, and you're not doing your part out there, guys. I'm taking the 5 yards.
How do you feel about the timeout with 2 seconds left to preserve the shutout against Georgia State? Are you good on that one?
No.
My issue is when they hold the timeout for when you have the ball, when you can control the clock instead of using it. Okay, one more real quick.
All right.
Dave from Pennsburg. Is conference realignment or the elimination of division something you would consider if you were commissioner of the Big Ten?
I would just wait. I would wait a little bit just to see what's going to happen with Nebraska and Minnesota. I think that the West is starting to get a bit stronger. I don't think they need to realign just yet.
I would agree. I think 2020, you have to look at realignment again after the 2020 season.
I like the ranking the assistant coaches.
I'm 100% there.
Especially since he shared his list. I thought he had a good call on the running back coach.
So Morgan from Ballston, Virginia is the winner of our 409 tailgate gift pack. Morgan, we will be in touch with you shortly. We've got one more quarter to go. We're going to talk about the defensive depth chart. That should be fun.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.